I'm just going to let everyone know that for the last 6 months or so, both myself, Debbie Stein, David Meyer, Ed Birmingham, Patty Chang have been meeting with the director of Rehabilitation Services, Christine Smith, because we knew that we were having some problems with the Bureau of Blind Service, chief among them being no chief of BBS. We met last Monday. John was present. John wants to keep the doors of communications open to us and has agreed to meet with us every other month and probably more if necessary. So he's very accessible to us. Now, one of the ways that we have to go about getting the services that we need, that we know we need, is to understand and know the application process and what we have a right to expect when we go in and request services. So I have asked the former chief of BBS, the assistant bureau chief, rather, to come in and talk to us about how to apply for services with BBS. Here she is, Janet Sherburn.
Hello, everybody. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be retired, too. So nice to see you all. Don't I look rested? Listen, I just want to thank John for, my gosh, in 2 weeks, didn't he learn a lot of information? Oh, my goodness. Anyway, it's just so great to have a director again in blind services. I can't believe 2.5 years that was allowed to just wallow about. It's unbelievable, unexcusable. So I'm just so happy that John Gordon has accepted this position. As far as applying for services, I'd love to answer any of your questions.
Can we have your attention, please?
For instance, Kathy, on the question you asked, what would be kind of a good approach? This person has probably already applied for services, true?
Not yet.
Oh, okay, so they need to apply for services. And also, what we had always done in the past that's not actually a requirement, but really an excellent practice for a student, not an adult person, but if you're talking about actually a high school student or a college student, would be to write why they think this program is great for them. And notice I'm saying not a requirement, just a good practice. Why do they think the NFB program is a good practice for them? And again, I'm not saying that's a requirement, just an excellent practice. And I've never seen anybody turn down who has done that. So you can decide yourself whether you think you want to recommend that or not. But they definitely need to apply for services and get that process started.
Dan, could you walk us through the process of applying for services and what one can expect?
Right. It's going to be really heavily laden with paperwork, and that is what I'm very sorry about. What I saw happen over these last years was when we became strictly a computer-based system. It used to be you and the counselor would look at each other, sit across the table from each other, really connect and communicate. Now the counselor looks at the computer. Now I'm not going to speak for all counselors, but often it's very connected to the computer. What does the computer need me to put in? You're going to give that information to them. They're going to ask you to get more information. But again, it's going to be about that computer. So they first have to take your application for services, and it's going to request, well, first there's a referral needed, like Kathy and I were just talking about. And there's 7 pieces of information that are pretty basic, like your name, your address, your disability, what services you're requesting. It's pretty basic. After you come in, that's going to get you generated an appointment. After you come in for your appointment, there's going to be an application filed. The application is when the counselor collects all the information they need to make a decision if you're eligible or not, because they have to look and make sure you have a severe disability. If your severe disability includes blindness, most of the time they're going to keep that case. The only time they would not keep that case is if you have a secondary disability that is far more severe, and then they would be joined in the case with someone else. And I'm just saying that in the case of maybe it would be severe mental illness. It doesn't happen very often, but once in a while there. Oh, deaf blindness. Say you communicate strictly by sign language. So then the counselor for the blind works with the counselor for the deaf, but the counselor for the deaf carries the case. That is a rarity, by the way. But they do have to have documentation of your severe disability. So they're going to collect that from your medical sources. After that is done and they have verified you have a disability, this does not happen in one day. That's why I'm saying it's necessary to start application process in advance. There are time limits for the counselors on these, like they have so many days for this, so many days for that. But believe me, it's like 60 days and then it's 30 days. So time gets passed. That's why you want to start ahead of time. Then you write a plan for services. Now, you have as much right in that plan. The counselor can give their opinion. They can say their concerns. They need to advise you. They need to give you all the professional information they have. But you need to direct and lead that plan. It is your plan. So all the ideas you have, all the dreams you have, now, if they're unreasonable, this is where the counselor may say to you, you know, Here's the thing. There's nobody in all of Illinois doing that job. I don't mean nobody blind. I mean nobody doing that job. So you need to know, is that job even going to be available? Am I willing to move? How many people have that job? So if there's only 3 people in the state that have that job, am I willing to go for that kind of odds? This is the kind of information the counselor needs to give you. Is it a practical job to even seek? Counselors need to give you all that kind of information. Then the two of you need to figure out, okay, this is the job for me after I've been given all this information. They can even give you testing if you're not sure what kind of job you want. If you want to start a business, this is where you bring that proposal to the counselor. This is the business I want. If you are entrepreneurial, that is excellent. Dream your dream right here. Bring that dream to the counselor and say, this is what I want to do. This is the spot where all that happens. It gets laid out in a plan. You figure out who's going to pay for what. Yes, they are going to ask you financial information. For one thing, if you're on Social Security disability, the financial questions stop. You automatically are not quizzed any further. If you're not on Social Security disability, there will be financial questions, but then that's the end of it. They're done on a form. You move on. College can be paid for. Whatever your needs are at that time to reach your vocational goal is written in that plan. And then you move on farther in the process, and you start working on that plan. And hopefully you come to employment down the road. That's the goal. In this plan, it can be that you may need counseling, that you may need training, that you may need assistance in finding a job. It could be all kinds of services. And there have been many, many. Don't feel limited by what you think the services could be. Only be limited by what you need them to be. So it has to be that you don't feel in a box, but that you think what you really need them to be. And I would say that's the process.
Okay, and you, if the counselor finds that you don't need a service or that you're not entitled to services, I believe you said, number one, at one time you told me you'll be given written notice and you can get that notice in a format that's accessible to you.
According to the rehab rules that are actually federal, not just in Illinois, but it's written in both sets of rules, you need to get every document from our agency in a way that you read. So it could be in large print, it could be in regular print, it could be in Braille, or if need be, it could be recorded. That's a little bit more difficult for people to organize, but it needs to be in the way that you read your material. And you need to establish that with the counselor, really in your beginning appointment. And they should ask you that. How do you read your mail? How do you read? It could be email. Now, not everything can be sent in email, so you need a secondary way, too, for hard copies. So that's something that really should be done at a beginning appointment. How do you want to get your material? Everybody should do that with all your appointments everywhere.
And can you describe the what the appeals process is like, about how much time do you have to file further appeals if you get an adverse decision?
You know, I'm a little leery of that now because I'm trying to remember if it's 60 days. I think it's 60, but it could be 30, so please. Is it 60? Who said that?
Dick Davis.
Oh, thank you, Dick Davis. How do you know that, Dick Davis?
I used to rent services for the blind in Minnesota.
Oh, thank you, sir. Okay. Is it 60 days in Illinois? All the states are the same? Well, thank you very much. Dick Davis says it is 60 days, and that is good news. Okay, so 60 days is right, and you have to not have had your appeal by that time, but have gotten in your appeal in writing that you want to appeal. There are people that will help you with that if you want help, and they're called the Client Assistance Program in Illinois, and they do not work for the state agency. They are a separate group. And there's an 800 number, and you should be given that at all times when you are given any plan with the state agency, when there's any change in your plan, when you make application. There is any number of times that your counselor should give you that contact information. It should be in writing, and it should be explained to you. Also, if you're in conflict and you call the supervisor, again, they should give you that information. It is an 800 number. And those are people who will work as your advocate. They know all the rules, and they will be your advocate. They will tell you where you stand on a situation when you are in conflict with, or even if you're not trying to file an appeal, if you just want to understand what happened and you don't think the counselor answered correctly. You also have you could also call the supervisor before you call that number. You can do both or either one. A lot of times the supervisors will resolve conflicts before you even need to call the CAP number. And on top of CAP, you can file. They will help you file that appeal, and that's kind of a good thing they do, is to help you actually file the appeal with the hearing officer. And they'll come and help represent you at the hearing. A lot of the hearings in Illinois now are done over the phone. You don't even actually have to come. We used to, but now it's pretty much done electronically.
I guess we do have some time for questions for Jan. So we're back on schedule. So. If you guys have a couple questions, we can take a few.
I think, Denise, if I could just say one thing that I'm hoping people would most want to do is I feel like over the years, somehow we train people not to ask enough. But I think you could ask more, but just make sure it's specific and you know where you're going and what you need. Like if you want to start your own business, that's probably a lesser thought of idea, but it's a great idea. Just make sure you've got your business plan thought out, or if you need help thinking it out, have them show you who you can work with. But don't underestimate that idea. The vending program is a fabulous business, and that's you can follow that same kind of format. So don't underestimate the possibility of starting your own business if that's in your heart. Just know that it's really hard work. It's really tedious work that you have to really keep after. I don't know, tedious is the wrong word, but it's really hard daily work that you have to keep after. But if you're that kind of person, believe in yourself and make that happen. It's a very good way. And the state can help you with that.
Okay, just for the record, okay, I know my name. Okay, I'm Denise Avant. So if you are seeking for... If you can just say your name, and I know that that's David Meyer over there wanting to ask a question, so we'll go to David.
Jan, we actually have an advocacy committee within NFB, and occasionally we do get calls saying that people are looking for something and they're not able to get it, or the counselor may have told them something that they didn't feel they should have been told, or you know that perhaps might have violated a right or two. Is that client assistance program number a number of public
yes.
record? And if so, would you be able to state it so that those of us who do get involved with some of these cases might actually have it?
You know, I can no longer state it. It's 1-800-something, but I can get it for you. But, David, you know, what you guys used to do was call the assistant bureau chief. And that's a pretty, you can dial the 800 number, or you could probably continue contacting the assistant bureau chief. That was a pretty good way to go, too. So we can get you the 800 number.
You're right, Jen. It was a great way. I guess the only difficulty is, at this point, there's not an assistant bureau chief.
John, you want to say anything about that?
Thanks. What I could tell you is several of you stakeholders were in a meeting the other day, and as far as the assistant bureau chief, that was posted about a week ago or better. It's already been closed, so the applicants have already put their names in. And I think Director Smith felt that that position would be, correct me if I'm wrong, one of you guys, but I think she said that that could very well be filled before the first of the year.
That's right.
That is good.
And we don't really know if John and that person would feel that's the right way to handle it, David. So you're right, the 800 number could be important, but maybe they would let you still use that same approach because it really worked for a long time very well. Or I thought it did. I don't know if you did.
We have time for one more question.
Okay, Steve.
What is kind of the sense of the counselors, and if the agency still has placement specialists? Is it more in the line of career counseling to the general public, as in, you know, find out what kind of things you really want to do and follow your heart and learn about the industries you want to work in and so forth? Or is it, these are the kinds of jobs that blind people can do? Because in my time, 40-some years ago, the placement specialists and even the director of the agency quite literally told me, you're crazy, when I expressed a career objective of wanting to work for the Chicago Transit Authority. That wasn't a common job of blind people in the 1970s. And you all know how much I'm interested in mass transit, and so I followed my heart, which is what the Commerce College of the University of Illinois encouraged its students to do. And I'd really like to hear something about kind of the apparent dichotomy between, you know, these are the jobs that blind people can do, and you ought to follow your heart to determine your career objective. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I just love to tell you that none of the counselors ever make that mistake again, but the man that's going to speak right now had that happen to him about, what, 7 or 8 years ago, so I'm so worried to tell you that that might still happen. I'd love to tell you that none of the counselors make that mistake, but I'm afraid to make that promise. You're right, that should never, ever happen. But what year did that happen, Byron?
2000? Yeah, 2008. Yeah.
Happened in 2008 for a fact. So I'm not going to promise that. You are right. That is a wrong move for any counselor to make, and I absolutely agree with you 100%. I'm retired now, so I'm not responsible anymore, but I couldn't agree with you more, and your point is so well taken, but I am not going to promise there's not somebody out there making that mistake.
Jan, this is the other Byron. So I know that you and I have talked, and you know me fairly well. One of the things that I ran into is that I told my counselor I have two passions, and those two passions are audio, as you guys all know, and assistive technology. And I was looking for maybe a little guidance on which direction I should go, and they kind of treated me like, you don't really know what you want to do with your life. And that's not true. I had two very focused points that I wanted to get into and was looking for a little help on figuring out which way to go. So what would you suggest to somebody who does have a couple of things that they really want to do, but they're not sure which direction to go, and the counselor tells them, well, you obviously don't know what you want to do with your life?
See, right there is an excellent example of a counselor not understanding that there are so many businesses available. With those two objectives right there, excellent way to start your own business. And it would have taken the counselor to understand that we do start businesses. People are often afraid to help someone start a business because they themselves don't know how to start businesses. And that's a fear we have. But, you know, this is an excellent recommendation for John Gordon. He's all about people starting businesses. He's run his own business for a long time. So that takes, again, another layer of taking that fear away from our counselors. So I'm just going to say, if you want to start your own business, there couldn't be anything better. And Byron, that is an excellent business to start, as you know.
Yeah. Thank you for coming, Jan. Jan will... Jan will be around with us through the lunch hour. So if you have questions for her that you did not get a chance to ask, by all means do so. John, I think, is going to be here for a little while. If you have questions of him, I'm sure he'd be willing to answer any questions that you have.